The Barovian Construction Company is a family-owned, licensed, and insured home-building company dedicated to home improvement and design. We will craft your home to be modern, energy efficient, and we will guarantee that it collapses the instant the monster you are harboring in your sub-basement is vanquished. We offer quality service and 100% customer satisfaction. Services include roofing, siding, doors and windows, retaining walls, rough-hewn dungeons, flooring, insulation, secret passageways that open when you play a specific arpeggio on a harpsichord, crown molding, drywall, fully functional sacrificial altars, chimneys, stairs, an attic that serves as the superconductive focal point for pulling in and concentrating your dead children's spiritual turbulence, sunrooms. Contact Barovian Construction Company now for a free estimate. Just come on down to our office. There are literally only 3 open businesses in the village of Barovia, so you should have no trouble finding us. Barovian Construction Company. Turn your nightmares into reality.
Welcome to Pork Fried Dice, a podcast in which a group of friends play Dungeons & Dragons together, facing the horrors of the fantasy world before them with unflinching solemnity and stoicism. Or not. Featuring Katie as Will, Greg as Lank, Abby as Rafina, Alex as Batwhack, and Eric as Nick and as Dungeon Master. Hold on to your haversacks. Let's roll.
We're finally all here.
Uh-oh.
And the question is...
Y'all ready for this?
Alex was dancing behind the blue man that he, you know, we can't.
I'm sure he was. Mm-hmm. He was getting that.
Everyone else danced for a little bit, but then Alex, we can't see him, so
he's playing just... drums covered in paint.
Ah, there you go,
blue man. Well, hopefully that's
spinning on my head.
Whoa!
And his shirt's off again. Yes. Yeah. Last time on Pork Fried Dice. I hope everyone's in the mood after that rousing.
That was awesome.
Version. Thank you.
That was a good one. Good choice.
We needed a new tune.
Yeah.
To spice everyone up. That doesn't make sense. Anyway.
To spice everyone up.
All right, now everybody's spiced.
I'm feeling spiced up.
You got tarragon all over yourself.
I'm Rosemary.
I'll be parsley.
Yes, this last time it was an amazing attic spectacular extravaganza bonanza. Because we spent pretty much the whole time in the attic.
Yeah.
You all met Victor, the late Baron's son, and discovered that he's been working on exotic magics in his room. Specifically, a teleportation circle with questionable effectiveness. Mm. You also met a few skeleton cats. A half dozen of them.
Oh, right, the cats.
Here's one.
Yep, of variable temperament. Will was eventually able to convince Victor to leave the house under the pretense of traveling to the Amber Temple.
Temple.
A temple?
The Amber Temple. The Amber Tamblin.
I love that place.
The Amber Temple. A place that Victor believes to be steeped in arcane power. Lank, meanwhile, enjoyed the free garage sale that the rest of the attic proved to be, pulling...
I have so much stuff now.
How many porcelain cat figurines did he find in
there? He had to push out of the way so many of them, but they were all skeleton cat figurines.
Oh,
porcelain,
yeah.
Skeleton cat figurines.
I want those. That sounds awesome. Wow.
That would be something you would have in your house.
I would love that. Mm-hmm. That's so awesome.
Or like skeleton... what are those, like... something memories figures or
oh,
whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Precious, precious moments.
Precious
moments.
Yeah, but skeletons.
Greg, doesn't your grandma or so, like at some point, some older person in your life must have had some precious moment figure?
I absolutely know what precious moments are, but I was trying to imagine porcelain skeletons. And everyone else was on board with it. Everyone was like, yeah, precious moments. I made that connection immediately. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, I've seen precious moments. I've never seen a skeleton.
Well, it's okay. You were just sprinting down the streets of Boston for the past 15 minutes, so.
Oh, poor Greg.
Mm. Yeah, you were pulling artifact out of the junk piled high. And that's as far as I've written in my recap, so let's wing the rest, because I just remembered to do it.
Oh, yeah. That's what you were doing.
Thankfully, Greg was late that let me write those few crappy lines.
You guys coordinated that.
Let's see. You all very gracefully made your way down the ladder into the house. You caught Will up on the events that occurred upstairs, and you all decided, somewhat in unison, that Will and Batwack would stay behind in the house. Mm. Will wishing to perpetrate the ruse that he is in fact the mayor of...
Perpetuate the ruse?
Instigate and perpetuate eternally.
You said perpetrate. Would that work? I don't know. Sorry, go
in
on.
In perpetuity.
Shut up, Katie.
Percolate.
Percolate.
Laura Prepon.
Precious moments.
Will was hoping to precious moments the ruse that he is, in fact, the Baron, using his ability to disguise himself at will. And I don't know if Bathwack's on board. I guess we will soon find out. Mm. The rest of y'all, including Nick, which would be me, went with Victor back to the Blue Water Inn. Victor to rest up before your grand trek to the temple, and the rest of you to figure out what to do with him. You got there and found everyone waiting up, despite the late hour, or early hour, rather, as it is quite early in the morning. The Were-Raven family alerted you that something had happened to Irina.
Oh, right.
You all rushed upstairs, where she was laying asleep in Rictavio's bed, sans Rictavio. No hanky-panky going on, at least when you arrived.
Whoa!
And you found that she was no longer armless. Good news! Except the arm that has replaced her recently lost normal arm was a tiny, vestigial, jet-black arm.
So gross.
It's not really vestigial.
Yeah, it's not even that, because that would be like your appendix, something that used to be something in the evolution of you.
So like a third tiny arm would be vestigial?
A tail.
Yeah, like vestigial. A vestigial is something left over, basically. It's like something that, like our tailbone is a vestigial bone, I think, because it used to be from back when we might...
I think it would be appropriate to say that it resembled a vestigial arm if people only required one arm.
Right.
Got it. Okay. Or if it were like growing out of her back or something. I forgot to mention, it's growing out of her ass. There, it's vestigial. Are you happy?
I feel like that detail would have come up last week.
So here we are staring at Irina's arm.
Yep, her non-vestigial, yet still tiny and jet black arm.
And she's asleep, right?
Yes, she was asleep.
So she's asleep. Does she look like she's sleeping peacefully or like she's a little distraught?
I mean, she's not thrashing about and tossing and turning. She is laying still. It's easy to see. I mean, her chest is rising and falling. She is breathing, and so you don't think she's dead either. If you remember, Irwin, the barman and owner of the Blue Water Inn, his wife was tending to her at her bedside, Danica, and she says she's been asleep for some time. She was, as you can imagine, quite upset at this occurrence, and eventually, I think, pretty much just passed out. And so we... Oh,
so, So she knows. She knows she's got a new arm.
Yes, she does.
Because she freaked out. Like, she didn't notice right away when she lost the arm way back when.
Yeah, really.
So I was thinking, like, we should probably distract her until we gauge whether or not she knows. But she knows. All right.
Yes, you missed that part. No.
Okay. Oh.
We were all down in the common room, and all of a sudden she just starts screaming at the top of her lungs.
That sounds about right.
Yep.
And we look over, and there is her, I don't know, trying to get away from, even pull off this limb.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, all of a sudden,
was it
like
growing before your eyes, Danica?
I wasn't sitting there staring at her stump. I'm a polite person. But as far as I'm aware, it just appeared. She wasn't really in the frame of mind to logically discuss what occurred. But it's pretty much as far as we were all aware, it was not there one moment and there the next.
Irina is so dramatic.
Have any of you ever seen anything like this before? Like arm just appearing? Is that something that happens in this town?
No. And
right.
Behind you, Davian and Irwin have followed you up, and Davian says, "Yeah, though it does kind of remind me of that arm that guard has, that Izek feller, that bastard, though much smaller, and attached to a pretty lady, and not a freak of nature like that guy."
You're rather observant, Davian, and I appreciate that.
Yep. He nods.
And Lank is totally sincere there, because he's like, oh, you know, he's making good points.
Yeah.
Yep. Victor has followed you up as well, and he's like, do you want me to, I could try to work some magic, to try to help? He starts flipping through his book, which, if you recall, he has clutched.
He has a heart!
I'm sure that, you know, this would be an interesting experiment. Maybe, here's something called Mage Hand. Maybe I could do something with that. And
she should probably at least be awake before we start trying to fix her.
Well, I mean, she'll be more acceptive of you know, various methods we might try.
Anybody want to back me up here that she might want to be awake?
I have here a HIPAA form for you to fill out.
The wizard's creed is maybe do no harm if you can help it, but it doesn't really matter. At least
in Barovia, do you have a yes means yes law? Affirmative consent, Victor. That's what we're going for here.
Yep.
She has a DNM, a do not magicitate.
Magicitate. What is this mage hand skill, spell you have there, Victor?
I don't know. I was reading about it. I just saw the name of it, and I thought it might be applicable because it's, you know, like her hand and arm area. Maybe, I don't know.
Isn't mage hand what Nick has, like, to Nick move stuff that around, yeah, or something? It's just like a spell to move stuff around.
Yeah, it's basically...
It says the word hand in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice job, Victor.
Maybe there's a mage arm. I'll look for that. Okay.
Yeah, let's take a step back. Has it seemed like this little black arm has changed at all since it appeared?
Danica thinks for just a moment. No, I it pretty much seems to be the same as when it first appeared. As much as I'm doing what I can to try to take care of her, I'm somewhat reluctant to closely inspect and or touch or look at it. But it doesn't seem to have changed or grown or anything like that, at least.
Hey, Nick.
Yeah.
Go over there and lick it.
Nick looks at you with wide eyes. He's like, why?
We want to see what's going to happen. Just lick it. I'm sure it doesn't taste bad.
I'm all for, you know, bravery in the face of strange and dangerous things, but, you know, and he suddenly looks like he gets an idea. I don't think it's right to place one's tongue upon a woman without first getting her consent.
Ah, good one, Nick.
Well, just yeah, smell it then. Give it a there,
and there's the only reason.
He looks satisfied with himself, like, yes, I'm a good man.
Give it a good sniff.
Okay, I can do that.
And he kind of, if it smells like magic.
All right, he swaggers over to the arm, and he slowly, hesitantly bends down, and he gives just the briefest of sniffs. And then he backs away.
You gotta snort it!
He pulls out a dollar bill, rolls it up.
Is she sleeping through all of this? Us arguing about how to approach the arm?
Rafina is using a stage whisper, of course. Our whispers are inaudible.
He says, ugh, smells like, well, kind of like brimstone, to be honest.
Ah, that's not good.
That seems to be a recurring theme around here.
Mm. Yeah.
What was the... Wait. On the body, was it char... Was it? Did it smell like brimstone when they were looking at the body? I never looked at the body.
Lank
I'm just curious.
Did. Lank was the...
Right, did
Gil
he...
Grissom
I'm
on the scene.
I'm just curious. This is...
Yes, when I reported all of the things, it was that they singed chest and the smell of... Brimstone. I almost said hellfire and damnation, but yeah.
It was Irina. She did it. Killed
you. Irina looks very peaceful in her purple dress.
Purple dress?
Wait, purple?
No, I'm joking.
DM humor. Ha ha ha.
You all die. Just kidding.
Oh. All right. Well, this is fun staring at her arm. Shouldn't we see what Bathwack's doing?
Well, you left Bathwack back at the manse.
Oh, she wants to get out of there. So she's like, I know! Stop talking to me! Go away to another scene.
Why don't we rest? Since clearly nothing is happening here, and no one will lick the arm, so we should just sleep.
So disappointed.
The arm will probably still be there in the morning. I'm going to bed.
If it falls off on its own, then it is vestigial.
Okay, got it.
I think.
I guess I will have to make that happen. You just want me to make it fall off so that Arena's okay.
I do.
Just so that my use of the word vestigial is proper in the first place.
It would be a win-win.
I see your ploys there, Miss Serafina.
Yes, please.
No, dice. It's not vestigial. It's the opposite. It's stigial. It's a solidly attached, not falling off, stigial arm. All right. Nick says, yeah, I guess I don't know what more to do right now, and I think all of us could use a bit of a lie down. It's like 4 in the morning. No, it's maybe 1 or 2 at this point, but it's still late.
Tired. Yes, let's sleep.
All right. Good. Just kind of. Good decision, good. I think.
Good. Everything's
maybe,
good now.
Maybe things will be better in the morning.
We'll just pretend we didn't see that right before we went to bed.
You all just lay in bed, wide-eyed, staring at the ceiling.
I can't not see it. I can't.
Constantly making sure your arms are normal, touching them back and forth. All right. You all make your way to your rooms. And fall to sleep, unless you all want to do something in the meantime.
No.
All right. So you head to bed, and you drift to sleep. And now we go to... Lank? We go to
what?
Lank Stumpers.
I'm asleep.
Well, Lank Stumpers.
Don't you be waking me up.
You are asleep, but suddenly you find yourself walking down the middle of the street in Valaki, the main thoroughfare. It is night time, as dark as when you went into the in the inn, but you find that rather than just normally walking down the street, you are unable to control your body. It is moving seemingly of its own accord. You can feel and see that it is you. You're not inhabiting another form or creature or anything like that. But you can't speak, you can't move a muscle. You can just perceive what's going on around you. And you're heading seemingly with some purpose somewhere. One notable thing, though, is that you have a splitting headache right down the center of your forehead.
Ugh.
As you walk...
He's growing an arm out of the center.
Yeah, that's what I think, too.
A vestigial arm.
In the middle of his vestigial headache.
I think we know what the title of this one's going to be, or at least part of what it's going to be. All right. You're walking down the street, and then you begin to sort of take some side streets. You make your way to the outer wall of the town, which, if you recall, is made up of these high wooden logs strapped together like a palisade surrounding the entire town. So you know, through side streets, smaller streets, you eventually make your way to the wall itself and travel along it until you get to a ladder, which allows access. There's a scaffolding near the top, which allows guardsmen to patrol up there. Again, without any say on your part, you begin ascending the ladder and get up to the top. It's about 12 feet high once you get up there. You look over the side of the wall into the forest beyond. It's pitch black. You hear the howl of a wolf in the far distance.
Oh.
See a cloud of bats swoop by. And then you begin to make your way along the top of the wall, which is lit every so often by hooded lanterns, though being a dwarf, your dark vision aids you when those lanterns are not present, even. As you go, eventually you can make out a figure in the distance, also on top of the wall, some distance away in the direction that you're walking. You continue to approach, and as you get closer, you see that this figure is none other than Izek Strazny, captain of the town guard. And he seems to be headed away from you. So you're both walking in the same direction. He has his back to you. Quieter than a shadow, you approach. And as you do, you begin to raise your maul high above your head. You creep closer and closer, and as soon as you get close enough, you bring it down upon his back with all your might.
Oh my god.
And I need you to make an attack roll.
Whoa!
In his dream? Can't he dream he's making an attack roll?
All right, let's see here. Attack roll... 17.
Okay.
Plus, well, I'm using my maul, you said?
Mm-hmm.
That's 25.
That's your dream maul.
That is a solid hit. Go ahead and roll damage.
You know, all of my most spectacular moves in combat are when I'm doing things I don't want to be doing. Like I went after Bathwack, and I'm going after this guy. I don't even know this guy. That's 11.
Okay. So, maul lands solidly, driving into the top of his right shoulder, and as it strikes, he yelps in both, you would assume, pain and surprise, and he whirls around to face you, and as he does, this large flame blossoms in his hand, and it's hurled directly at you, and does a 22 hit your AC?
Oh my god! Oh, I thought that was damage. Sorry. I got scared.
I appreciate your concern. 22 absolutely hits my AC.
Okay.
I was scared. Certainly scared.
It does 40 damage.
It does 8 fire damage. And not only that, it sends you flying backwards.
Oh,
he's asleep!
Directly off the scaffolding.
Oh my
Can
god.
Can it take... He's off in his sleep?
I don't think he's asleep. I think this is that... I think he's the naked dwarf we ran into before that I guess you might not know about.
I don't know about the naked dwarf.
Am I inside or outside the town wall now?
You are flown into the town.
Into the town. Fantastic.
You sort of hurtle backwards off the edge of the scaffolding. Back first, you land solidly on your back on a nearby roof, driving the wind out of you. But it's a very steeply pitched roof. Then you immediately roll off, tumble onto the ground below, and take an additional 5 damage as you hit the ground. You land again on your back, having tumbled a few times over and over. And as you look up, you see Izek glaring down at you. At this point, he's hefted up his giant battle axe, and it looks like he's bending his knees as if he plans to jump down upon you. Looks like he's about ready to pounce, when suddenly, seemingly out of nowhere, you see figures run at him from the left and the right along the top of the wall out of the darkness. They leap bodily upon him. It's happening very fast, but they seem like humans, or humanoids at least. And as this happens, he's caught off balance, and instead of jumping down upon you axe first, he teeters on the edge of the scaffolding with a few of these people on his back before tipping forward, and rather than jumping on you, he falls towards you.
Oh my god.
You feel yourself brace for the impact, squeezing your eyes shut in preparation, and suddenly find yourself back in your bed in the Blue Water Inn.
Whoa! Whoa!
What?
Okay. I am never taking acid before bed again.
Only in the morning. Only before noon.
First thing in the day.
Oh my god. Well,
get up, drop acid, brush my teeth.
Oh my god. Maybe it was a dream. Never mind. I just thought it was maybe the naked dwarf thing. I don't know what's going on.
So, am I injured?
Your head is still throbbing. It seems as though some of the hairs on your beard are singed.
Ooh.
And your back hurts something fierce.
Ooh.
Fantastic. What time is it? Is it still time enough for me to get some of these hit points back?
I know.
It's maybe 5 a.m. or so.
Uh-oh.
You could probably try to squeeze in a little bit more shut-eye. You could maybe recover half of what you just lost.
Well, pragmatically, that's what I want to do, but I don't think I'd be able to go back to sleep after that. My beard's on fire.
so I think I'm getting up. On fire. I just like the idea that he wakes up and his beard's just on fire, but he's still sitting there. What time is it?
do I have time to get in a few more hours of sleep? Damn it, I may as well get up and take care of this thing. He's slapping his face. All right.
Just so Abby knows, because she's at, like, we, back when, this was before you were playing, back when we were still in just the village of Barovia, somebody, a kid pointed at Lank when we were all, like, hanging around in some city, or town square, or whatever, village square.
You're walking down the road, yeah.
And he pointed at Lank, and he said, "Is that the naked dwarf that you talked about, Daddy," or whatever? And then they seemed to recognize Lank as some naked dwarf, but, like, we tried to ask him about it, and they were, like, running away or something. We didn't really, basically, somebody thought he had been running through the streets naked. And then I was like, Will really tried to pursue that? Like, what are you talking about? What does this mean? And Lank was not interested at all. So, I don't know. That
or at
was
least
all.
Pretended to be not
I've
interested.
Been wondering about that forever. I'm so glad something else is happening. Although, I guess I don't... I guess it's... Is it his body?
You're
or
glad?
It...
I'm on fire. Thanks.
I'm happy for the story. I just hope that you do recover some of your hit points, because holy moly.
Okay. Having thought it through, Lank is going to grab his things and head for the wall where all of this just took place.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Bet you didn't expect that, Dungeon Master.
Hey, I'm expecting the unexpected.
And while he goes, he's going to strip naked.
Really?
Ooh.
No, I just wanted to see your reaction. All right, let's keep going.
I was so excited.
All right, this is turning into a different game. Some music with some very heavy bass starts playing out of nowhere.
And a saxophone.
Okay. All right. So you head out into the streets. It's starting to get a little light. It's like basically right at that start of the time of morning where you know, you haven't really seen any sun since you've been here, but if you didn't have magical dwarf vision, you would basically start to be able to make out, you know, things in the darkness. So the streets are very quiet, and you make your way, from what you can remember, back to the site of where this had occurred, based on where you had climbed up the ladder and made your way down. Do you want to be on the wall, or do you want to go, or you want to be down where you had fallen?
Start with where I had fallen.
Okay. It was in sort of this, side yard of this house that you had rolled off of the roof of. There is some This was a steeply pitched roof, and you actually see, if you look up at the roof, you see it looks like maybe some shingles have been knocked off, and there are some scattered bits of them on the ground where you remember having fallen. The grass there is heavily trampled. You see that there looks to be something that had happened here, potentially what you remember happening from your sleep time.
Any sign of the of individuals who were involved?
You don't see anybody around.
All right. Run over to the ladder to climb up on the wall.
Got it. You head up on the ladder, and then I'm assuming back over to where you fell?
Yes.
Okay. You don't see too much up there. Go ahead and roll.
Any cinders from the fireball?
Yeah, roll an investigation.
That is... I forget what my investigation... I think it's just one. No, it's negative one. So 16.
Okay. Yeah, actually, you you see on the tops of the wall, the logs are shaped into points, and you see that the points of some of them, maybe where his hand had sweeped around before flinging this ball of fire at you, are singed. And as you view that, you look over, and you think you maybe see something glinting below. You being a dwarf, you'd be able to make it out. It looks like a short sword, which you've seen the guards carrying in the past.
You're down in the grass, you said?
Yeah, like on the other side of the wall, on the outside.
On the outside?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Is the day far enough along that the gates would be open?
The gates are never open. You have to always come in or out. They're never kept open. So
how far from the sword is the gate?
I mean, you're on the south side of the wall. To go there through the town, it would take, you know, maybe 10 minutes or so to get to the gate. But then coming back through, things aren't really tended too well. I mean, though, it's right along the wall, so they kind of keep that a little
How
well
tall
clear.
Did you say the wall was?
12 feet.
I'm just going to jump it.
Okay.
Dwarves are known for their jump skills.
You land solidly on the ground. You take another 4 points of damage.
Ouch.
But you find yourself on the outside of the walls of Valaki, right next to the forest, and it's barely morning time.
I'm going to collect the sword.
Okay. You pick it up. Seems a very rudimentary short sword. Seems to be tended to well, but nothing remarkable. No,
this sword is the property of Bob kind of inscriptions.
The word Tuesday is etched into the waistband. No, nothing like that.
All right, I'm going to, with the sword, start making my way back to get back in, try to get back into the city at the gate.
Okay, got it. And as Lank does that, we're going to cut to Will and Bathwack.
Oh.
Partners in crime.
Yay!
One of them willingly, one of them unwillingly.
Abbott and Costello.
So, we're jumping back in time. The others have just left you.
Oh.
You know nothing of Irina's condition or Lank's adventures inside or outside the wall.
Okay.
You are alone in the house except for two sleeping servants. And a guy badly beaten and blinded and trapped in a room full of dolls. What do you do?
I'm in the kitchen.
Okay.
I'm looking around for some honey.
Yep.
All right. You look around for a while. If you eventually make your way, there's an attached larder / pantry. A lot of it seems to be somewhat bare, at least compared to the amount of shelf space available. Things are a little lean, probably much better stocked than probably most of the people living in this town, but still, you think that this place have maybe seen better times, and at least in terms of food stores. But you do find a small jar of honey, not nearly the amount that you had spilled out of Lank's found jug, but something's better than nothing.
All right, good. I'll hold on to that.
Okay. So you steal a jar of honey from the Baron, the dead Baron. You are now no longer a good character. No kidding. Katie drew into question Nick's alignment very early in the game when we were in this house of people who turned out to be cultists.
As, but we didn't know at that time.
No, we didn't know at that time.
And you were just stealing shit left and right.
Nick was just like, whoop, I'm going to take some of this.
What are you doing? Yeah.
I have moral objections to theft. Oh, no, wait, it's the other thing. Oh, I don't have moral objections to theft. That's what I meant to say.
I don't recognize theft as a concept.
Yeah, right. It's just all mine.
Just mine.
All right. So, at least at first, Batthwack is rummaging around in the kitchen.
Okay.
What about Will? What's he doing?
Oh, man. I probably can't move that desk myself, can I? That's in front of the door.
You could try. It's a big desk.
Yeah.
Batthwack had trouble with it.
Then Will's probably, like, not even, like, gonna try that. I think that Will is like, okay, I need to get... I'm pissed that I haven't found any gold or anything. Can he investigate just like a couple of the rooms? The ones that he didn't look in, okay. Other people looked in them. Can he just kind of look around to see if he can find any secret compartments or anything like that?
Go ahead and roll an investigation check.
Okay.
I mean, how long do you want to do this? Are you going to stay up all night?
No. I'm definitely going to go to sleep. Okay. I think that Will... Will is fidgety. Will is a nervous planning person,
Pick
so I don't think
a couple rooms that you want to search.
Especially not knowing what Batthwack is doing.
Obviously a while to...
Oh, pick a couple rooms?
Yeah.
I don't have a map, so I don't know. Whatever. I don't remember what I didn't search. Can we just assume that it's just rooms that I didn't search? I feel like going by that desk, I want to look through the desk again. Like, he already moved it around. I want to look through the desk, see if there's anything. Because Will is, you know, he has an affinity for desks. But then, I don't know what room I didn't go to. I'm sorry.
So there's dining room, den, the servants'
quarters. No, it'd be
upstairs.
I'm upstairs.
Master
so
bedroom, that room with the bridal gown, the bathroom, the library, the torture room, the closet, a bedroom, Izek's room.
Izek's room? We didn't know that was Izek's room.
It's full of dolls with Irina.
Oh, he lives there? Aw, he's like their little guy. Okay. Weird. So I can't go in Izek's room, though, because that's where the guy that was tortured is.
Mm-hmm.
And what's this one? I'm sorry?
It was just an empty bedroom.
Empty bedroom. Maybe I'll go...
You could probably deduce whose room it is.
Oh, the wizard's guys. Mm-hmm. He probably doesn't have anything, but can't search in Izek's room. Maybe search in... But I think, again, I'm going to try to see if that... I don't know. Try to throw out some of the freaking
library
books and the desk across it, because I'm pissed that I haven't found anything in there. I'm like, why? This is his study. This is where he would keep some kind of information about where he would keep his money or something like that. 16.
All right. You find some very interesting books that you would want to read at some point, maybe.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, nothing that would, you know, grant you, like, unlimited power, but maybe some interesting reading material, like Origin of Heraldry in the town of Barovia, or the land of Barovia.
Yeah.
You find a guide to fine wines.
I'm not much of a drinker, but, like, is there anything about the... I mean, I guess maybe I would look... Yeah, you're right. Maybe I'll look through it later, but
yeah,
not right now.
But then eventually you pull back what looks like a bestiary of strange beasts.
Ooh!
And behind that you find a small pouch.
Okay, what's in there?
You find some money!
Yay! Money for me!
It's got 30 gold pieces.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
And 22 silver pieces.
Whoa! Okay. Nice. Awesome. Pockets that crap. Awesome. That makes him feel a little better.
Okay.
And he, I mean, I'm assuming Bathwack's probably making his way up. I mean, did I find nothing in the desk?
That was what you found of note. You would search the desk pretty thoroughly before.
Okay. Is Bathwack on his way? I don't know what Bathwack's doing.
Ask him.
You're the DM. You ask him.
Hey, he's your buddy cop. You need to ask him.
Hey, Bathwack, I've got a question for you. What's the fastest way back into town? I called him on my cell phone. Just kidding. That didn't actually happen.
Thank you for clarifying. It's very important. All right. Well, Batthwack, what are you doing after obtaining the honey? It doesn't take you nearly as long to do that as it takes Will to find some cash money in the library.
Where'd Pompeian go? I'm gonna go look up the stairs.
All right.
Let's see if I can hear anyone in the house.
Yeah, you go up the stairs and you hear books being thrown to the floor. I don't know how Will actually searches.
I think at first he's like putting things back, but as he goes on and he's getting pissed that this guy has nothing hidden, then he starts throwing stuff. Yeah, probably.
So you hear that coming from the library.
All right, I'll go over by Will. What are we doing here, Will?
We are pretending to be the mayor, right?
Do you look like the mayor still right now? Or are you being Will?
I think I switched back especially once we were downstairs and there was the threat of maybe servants waking up, he would have changed back mm-hmm. as they went. Oh, wait, no, because the Victor was there. So as soon as Victor left, he would have changed back into the mayor's guise because he doesn't want the servants mm-hmm. to happen upon him.
Okay.
So I think if anyone asks, I'm going to tell them that it seems I'm the Baron's new guard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Guard me. So I guess I should probably stay in their bedroom. Smell really good in there soon, but I guess that's where I should probably wake up in case servants... I probably should put a note on the door. Do not disturb!
To hang a tie on the doorknob?
Yeah. And then the doll room is occupied by your prisoner that I guess you have to take care of, Bathwack, because I'm not taking care of him. I think we should just dispose of him, in my humble opinion.
I'm inclined to let him go.
Man, he's gonna tell on all of us. He's gonna tell! He's gonna tell on us. He's gonna... I mean, man, just because he can't see doesn't mean he doesn't know. He's gonna give away some stuff. I think we should hold on to him for now. If you really don't want me to, you know, humanely dispose of him...
We're gonna have to put him down.
Exactly. If we can't do that, we should hold on to him for at least a little bit. Throw a loaf of bread in there or something, and then he can... Throw a can of beans in there with no can opener, Will says.
Here, throw this loaf of bread, Will says, and it's sopping wet and dripping green liquid out of it.
Yeah.
Give him this!
Smells just like the poison that I apparently am familiar with. Yeah, but we need rest, probably, right? Big guy, big, strong, fighty guy who has to guard me now. You probably need some rest.
Yeah. All right.
You sound tired.
I have just enough energy to go down and find a loaf of bread. And then I guess I'll tuck in right here by the desk.
He's going to guard him so I don't kill him. You won't even sleep in the bed. Oh, crap. Okay. All right, cool. If that's what Bathwack's doing, then Will, if he happened to see any papers in the desk that the Baron might have written on, can he see it? Is there anything like
sure.
that? Can I take a piece of paper and write in as quickly as I can forge? I mean, I know I have forgery as like a skill or whatever, mm-hmm. but like as quickly as I can, in as well as I can without practice, similar yeah. handwriting to the Baron, write a note and put it outside the servants' quarters. Something like, something happened during the night. We have a prisoner in Izek's room. I have a new guard. Don't disturb him sleeping or something like that. Something, you know, something is, I can't, sure. probably can't say something like that because it would have specific consequences. What do you think, Bathwack? Is that good enough, you think? I don't want them to come up here and be like, oh no, let's raise the alarm. There's a weird guy sleeping outside of Izek's room and there's a desk in the hallway and what the hell's yeah. going on?
That's a good call. So in the morning, it's just business as usual.
Right. I'll say don't come upstairs or something like that. I could say that. I could say don't disturb... Got a new lady. We had a threesome last night with my wife and some other lady. Don't come up here. That's what you guys...
It's disgusting.
It's disgusting up here.
Well, that'll allay any suspicion.
But I'm just trying... I mean, something along those lines like that. Like, just do not disturb me in the morning. Have breakfast ready. I have a new guard. We have a prisoner in the room. You know, stuff happened in the night. I think that kind of thing. Please... wait until I come downstairs in the morning. Don't be alarmed if you see a large turtle hanging out in my house. Love, the Baron.
This is all going in the note, right? Yeah, it's like four yeah, pages
everything.
Long now.
Yes. And then I mean, as long as that's cool with you, Bathwack, you have any other ideas to put in the note? I mean...
Oh, I am wondering what we're going to do in the morning. How is being the Baron really, you know, moving us toward our goals? What are we trying to do here?
All right, time to get metaphysical, you two. What is
you
want
to really know what? All right, what are we doing? Let's sit down. All right, I sit down on the floor as you're curled up by the desk. I sit down, crisscross applesauce. Well, bat thwack. The thing
he crosses his legs.
Yeah. Sitting down. I don't know what Bathrock is actually doing, but
takes his shield off, puts it on the ground.
And then he's like, ew, sometimes, oh man, like you really were looking like a turtle. Now you look like a weird naked turtle that got run over by a wagon or something. I'm very disturbed because you have no shell anymore.
Very flattering.
But what I was thinking was there's a lot of political weird shit going on in this town, Bathrock, and there was a note that I found long before we came here from that Lady Fiona Wachter lady. And to be completely honest, I wonder if she has something to do with this. You know, now that I've been kind of thinking about what's going on, I mean, maybe Blinsky has something to do with it. Maybe he's being blackmailed. I really don't know exactly what's going on. But the priest also told us that Lady Fiona Wachter wanted to get rid of the Baron. I want to know what's going on here. And if I pretend to be the Baron, I think that we might get some idea of what's going on without asking around. I feel like we could get like an actual idea of what's happening. No? That's what I'm interested in.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't know that. So that kind of puts me at ease, I guess.
I'm so glad that Will has finally put Bathwack at ease.
If Lady Fiona kills the Baron, and the Baron is still around tomorrow, I'm sure we'll find out.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. That was my idea, because I think this town has a lot of weird stuff going on in it. And honestly, I mean, I could care less about the Baron being murdered. Maybe I don't say that, but I probably do. I could care less about the Baron being murdered. I mean, I guess it's maybe sad that his wife got murdered. I don't know. I thought she was setting us up, but then she died. So I don't know. But I think that there's a lot of weird stuff going on.
It was a very, very elaborate setup.
Yeah. She very had committed. To die. I don't know. Out of character, Will is very into political intrigue and stuff like that. This is very along the lines of stuff that happened in his town, stuff that he participated in, kind of. So he's like, you know, I just think that giving up a position that we have ourselves in right now, where potentially nobody but the murderer knows who killed the Baron, gives us some information about political dynamics in this town. That is what Will is saying.
Are you sure you don't just want to be the Baron?
Will is taken aback because I think he kind of does want to be the Baron. He's like, good insight, Bathwack. No, I mean, I want to go back to my hometown. I don't want to be the Baron, especially if someone wants to murder me. I'm hoping that you will help me because at the very least, I need someone who, I mean, I don't even know what Izek's going to do. That guy has some kind of powers. If he sees me, I hope my disguise is good enough. I'm a little worried about that. But now that you have fed, did you feed him? Did you throw a piece of bread in there?
Oh, no, not yet.
All right. Well, I don't care if you feed him or not.
Forget.
Yeah, forget. Who cares? He can eat the dolls, whatever.
You hear the sound of wood crunching in there.
Oh. Katie feels bad. Even though the guy's a dick, I still feel bad. He's like this old dude. Oh, man, that's messed up. But Will doesn't care. Will's like, that guy is a untied thread.
Is a tool.
Yeah, and a dick, and yeah. And a dangerous untied
and a end. Coffin maker.
So yeah.
All right. So I've got your back, Will. As long as we're still trying to get out of here.
I would like nothing better. You mean to get out of this entire valley or whatever they call it? Yes, that is what I want to do. Get out of here.
So I think I don't know. I had ambitions to kill Strahd, but that last encounter was. Well, I don't think we can do it.
I don't think so either. But if someone like you is saying that, I definitely don't have faith that we can kill him. Oh, man. man, you're the guy that knocked someone's head over the ring of stones like a game of stickball. I don't know if they would have stickball in Tivoli. Yes, we did. We had stickball.
Like baseball, America's
Actually,
game.
They have stickball everywhere.
Most societies that have sticks and balls.
Yeah, but in Tivoli, it's just hitting people in the balls with sticks. That's what stickball is there.
Stickball smack.
Not a game of stickball. Everyone hates it. Mm-hmm. No. But yeah, so I'm going to, I mean, I guess I have to sleep in the dead people's room. And by those skeleton
cats.
It's
like, oh, I have to sleep in the nice room with the best bed in the town.
Two
dead people.
Yeah.
You moved them. They're
yeah,
like two
yeah,
rooms
you put
away.
Them in a toilet?
There's two dogs in the
two
toilet,
dogs in the privy, which is connected to the next room.
Right, and then the two people in the bathtub. It's right in the next room. It's right in the next room. He's, you know.
So you can't take a bath and you can't go to the bathroom, but you get the bed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but didn't you just magic away the blood?
I did magic away the blood, but
is it actually
body.
Away or is it just concealed?
No, it's magic. It's cleaned. I can clean things, so it is definitely gone. We don't have to worry about that. That's why I was trying to.
Is it actually like sterilized? Like, could there still be BBPs or anything like that?
Don't use a black light. No. Don't cast black light, Nick. I hope you don't have that spell. I'll be grossed out.
The floor is perfectly clean where we've cleaned up all the blood. The walls and the ceiling, however,
have semen stains all over them. Is that what you're trying to imply?
Glowing. Solid.
Oh, gross. The paint is made out of semen and blood. They've painted the walls with it. Oh.
You're disgusting.
It's disgusting, man.
You're disgusting.
You're disgusting. Shut up! Anyway. I don't know what we were saying now.
I didn't see that color at Home Depot.
I didn't see that color at Home Depot.
That's Glidden's new line.
Blood and semen. Mm.
Right next to eggshell.
You get it in matte or satin finish.
Stop.
All right. Okay. Anyway. Right.
No, you were saying, I guess I have to sleep in that room. That's
yeah. I guess I have to sleep in that room. And
I'll try to sleep out here with one eye open and keep an eye on the hall.
Well, I'm going to go put that note down there, so they better. I'm the Baron, and they better, I don't know, maybe they just disobey the Baron all the time. That will suck. But hopefully they listen to the Baron. They seemed a little shy, so cool. And he goes and puts the letter down. Outside their, I don't know, on the wall, on the door, under the door, under their door, maybe.
Okay.
I probably have to roll for stealth for that. In the hallway, outside the door.
You're fine. Okay. If you guys haven't woken them up already.
I know,
this
right?
Point.
Dragging dead bodies around.
Throwing books around.
Yeah. Oh, crap.
Yeah. So I walk down with Will, grab something edible out of the kitchen.
But still gross, like raw turnips or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
And is there a gap in the door or anything like that? I just want
to. You'd have to
saying anything.
It's closed tight, so you'd have to pry the desk away a little bit and wedge the door open.
All right, fine. I'll do that.
Okay.
I might even say here.
He says, "Let me out! Let me out!" As the door is cracked.
Yeah. Slam.
Yeah, you say yeah, but then you slam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sure.
All right.
Show enough.
All right, so you actually retire to the bed at
I'll
this point?
I'll go to the bed and I'll clean the bed before I get in it because I am
every
anal
layer.
Like that. Yeah, I'm like
rip all the sheets off. Yep. It's just a bare mattress and you clean that.
Yep, I clean
squeegee.
That. Yep. Squeegeeing that whole bed and then I
cut the mattress open and squeegee each feather.
Yes.
Burn the bed to the floor.
Yep. Rebuild another bed and sleep in that. After I cleaned it. I cleaned it, then burned it, then slept in the new one.
At this point, it's a week and a half later.
I'm the Baron! I'm the Baron! It's crazy.
Look at my bed! It's clean!
At this point, Lang couldn't get back into the town, so he found a way out. He's gone.
Oh, man.
There's a hole into the ground. There's a tunnel leading back underground. You shrug. Eh, well. All right.
He lays in the bed and looks at that weird the
trap door
that is that they went through
I'm
to go see
you
the skeleton.
It.
Yeah, it was totally closed, but I think he's nervously looking at it. And I think he takes out the immovable rod. Mm-hmm. I haven't used that yet.
Nope.
And he jumps up as high as he can to place the immovable rod so that that door can't be opened, just in case those like wooden dummies come to life or like the cats come down and try to eat me or something.
Okay.
I'm going to use that immovable rod to make sure the door can't open.
All right.
Does it open the other way? Probably.
Yes, the trap door with the pull cord actually pushes up. I mean, you can't jump high enough just to touch the ceiling, but
is there
you
a
can...
chair? Can I climb on a chair?
Yeah,
or something?
Yes. If okay. you want to do that, then you could
cool.
do that. You
cool.
push the button.
Yes.
It hangs in place right there.
I'm also freaked out by that, and I decide to go sleep in the servants' quarters.
Bathwack, there's a rod up on the ceiling. I put it there. Can you sleep in this room with me?
The bed's clean.
Very clean.
Did you build a new bed?
Yes. Yes.
That's the only way you know something's clean.
And remember, the toilet won't flush.
It also turns the light on and off 34 times.
Aw, no. But right. I do call Bernard up to make him guard the door.
Okay.
I don't remember if we
he's been at the back door.
I'm saying I don't remember if we decided that he stays awake while I'm asleep or not. That was your ruling, and I don't remember what you ruled.
It's exactly what I said last time. It's exactly the same. Anyway, now that that's cleared up.
We don't know what it is. We don't know what the rule is, but all right, cool.
If only there were a record of it. Oh, well. And Bathwack, so where are you sleeping? Like, on the desk, next to the desk?
I'm going
to
sleep on the other side of the desk, like out, like in the hallway.
Right.
Hopefully a little bit out of sight. Back to the wall, like, you know, knights used to sleep.
Okay.
Mm.
Got it. You have
He's
chosen
a knight.
Wisely. Yeah. All right. So, you fall asleep.
God, after hours of staring at the
yep.
creepy door
mm-hmm.
in the ceiling.
It's finally 7 in the morning and you drift off.
Yeah.
Bathwack, at one point, you stir a little bit. You're woken. There seems to be, like, some sort of unsettling feeling. You can't really pin it on what it might be. You don't think you heard anything. It's just kind of within you. You think it's maybe like 5 a.m. or so, like right at the very, very break of morning, but still certainly early enough that you would probably want to sleep some more.
So I feel vaguely uncomfortable. I don't hear anything. I don't feel anything.
No, just like an odd sort of internal anxiety kind of thing.
Oh.
He's in tune with the pain of Isaac.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I mean, Isaac could come back, but...
You also don't feel like you've fully rejuvenated yourself in terms
right.
of a rest.
Yeah, I'm willing to go back to sleep.
All right. You die! Wrong choice!
Plot twist!
All right, you go back to sleep. All right. Let's go back to Lank. It's... early, early morning, and you're outside of Vallaki. What do you do? Are you heading to the nearest gate? Or...
I'm heading for the gate, yes.
Okay. Take some time. You make your way there. Some of the areas are a bit more overgrown. You think this had maybe at one point had been tended to, like an area cleared away from the wall to create like a gap between the encroaching forest, but it's not been kept up with. But eventually you make your way back to the gate. And it is locked up tight.
I will knock.
There is no answer.
The writing's on the wall for this one, but I'm gonna knock again.
All right. Eventually, after your knock, you hear some murmuring on the other side, and then you hear through the gate. They say, "What do you want? Who is it?"
One of a party who entered before. I'm trying to get back in.
Gates are closed.
I can
Town's
see
closed
that.
For the night.
But for the... It's morning.
It's not morning yet. You're up early, son.
Son. Listen.
It's your dad.
I was inside the town until quite recently, and I fell off... the wall. Yeah. And I just need to get back in. I'm staying at the inn. All my friends are there. Please let me in.
One of the gates cracks open a slight bit. Actually, no, there's probably a way to open it to look through without having to open the entire gate. That would probably make sense. A little, you know, basically peephole, little door, you know, opens up. And you see someone peering out at you. He says, "You're not one of the guard. What are you doing up on the walls?"
"I thought I saw a damsel in distress."
"Ooh. It was a naked lady raven."
"You know how quickly those things fly away. So I was after her quick, but she got away, and when I jumped after her, I fell short and landed in the grass. Can I come back in now, please?"
He fell short.
Always falls short.
Yeah.
He kind of looks you up and down. He says, "You're pretty well armed there. Gonna need you to drop those weapons before I let you in here."
"I brought these weapons with me when I fell off the wall."
"Yep, you're gonna have to leave them outside."
"Whoa."
All right. Lank lays down the sword.
Well, how about that other one there?"
"I only have the one sword."
"Well, that hammer there doesn't look like much one for carpentry work."
"This is a carpentry hammer. It just looks large because I'm so small."
"Yay!"
"Fortunately, it's a carpentry hammer. And you're being rather insensitive."
"He's carpenterist." He says, "That's a funny joke there. You want to come in or not?"
"I do. I don't want to be standing out here all night."
"You're going to have to lay down that there ball-peen hammer."
"Ball-peen hammer, wow. All right." Lank lays down the maul as well.
"All right, step away from him."
Lank takes a step back from his weapons.
All right. The door cracks open. Swings open, and two guardsmen come out with swords drawn. "All right, come on in. We'll get your weapons for you."
This is a very different greeting than we had recently when we entered your town before.
Okay. I don't know who was here before, but that's not how we generally run things."
"What'll happen to my weapons?"
"We've got them, don't worry."
"What will happen to my weapons?"
"We'll keep them safe till it's time for you to leave again."
"You know, that's all right." Blank picks up his weapons.
What, and they kind of back up, but they have their swords pointed directly at you. What are you doing there?"
"Well, I feel that you're being rather inhospitable, Sonny."
"I'm your dad!"
"Can't be too safe, too sure here in this land, lad."
"Lad. Would you care to, you know, little guy like me, big swords like that, would you care to let me try your steel to see just how much of a threat I might be? I mean, you show me that you're in charge, then it doesn't matter if a little fella like me comes in or not."
"We're not the only ones in this town. It's not just us. There's people we gotta keep safe from people like you." And they're starting to back through the gap that they've opened up in the gate.
Lank is walking after them. "But it doesn't make that big of a difference, does it?"
The one that's been talking gestures to the other one to get back in. And he says, There's always a risk. I don't know you. I don't know what you want here. But you don't seem to be wanting to cooperate with us. We're the law here. And so if you're not going to do what we say, then you can't come in."
Lank is going to take the sword that he got outside the gate, mm-hmm, and throw it over the man's head into the city.
He ducks as you do this, thinking maybe it's
like high arc, just to be okay. Clear, not like at his head, over his head.
He still ducks very pointedly, like almost to the ground, as it sails over, and he kind of turns to watch it go.
Lank walks through the gate.
They turn and see that you've made it in past them, and They both stand up and they have their swords pointed at you again. They say, "Halt! You're coming with us."
Lang picks up the sword. "I had to pick up my sword. I dropped it over here."
"Don't take one more step."
Lang says, "I'll just be on my way," and starts walking toward the inn.
All right, roll initiative.
Eight.
Okay. The guard that has been talking to you, seemingly maybe has a little bit more bravery, rushes at you and swings his sword at you. Oh, wow. He rolls a 21 to hit.
That is a hit.
Okay. That hits and does 2 damage.
Well, that pisses me off.
The other one, seeing that his compatriot has landed attack on you, this mysterious figure out of the night with the largest carpentry hammer he's ever seen, decides to attack you as well. And that is a 14 to hit.
That is not a hit.
All right. He is trying to put all of his weight into it, try to do something to you, and he swings and misses. And it's your turn.
All right. I'm going to take a swing.
Okay.
At the guy who hit me.
Okay. And I will say that in D&D, you have the option to deliver damage as non-lethal. Just in case that would apply in this situation.
Yes. I did. I'm not trying to kill him.
Yeah. Okay. So go ahead.
Does that change the way I look at rolls?
No, it all works the same. It's just that if you were to reduce him to 0, he would just be knocked out and not dead.
Okay, that is a 21.
That hits.
17.
You strike him on the side of the head,
and
he is laid out flat.
Oh. How do you, like, not kill a dude with a giant hammer to the side of his head? I would love to know that.
Listen. I'm very good at what I do.
Yeah, he is.
Obvious to anyone who's watching this that he was trying to sort of pull that swing, or does it just look like he clobbered the guy in the head with the hammer?
Pretty much that. Batwack might know. I mean, he's pretty well versed in this kind of thing. But to the average passerby, yeah, probably just looks like he clocked him one. And I think you have another attack, Lank.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
You said the man's laid out flat, right?
Yeah, he is on his back, not moving.
I'm just going to speak to the other one, then.
Okay.
And say, none of this is necessary.
All right.
He's going to be fine. But I want to go back to bed.
All right. Before you finish the word necessary, the guard is running away. He is dashing off down some side street, squeezed between a couple narrowly built houses, and is gone.
Okay.
Well, that went well.
Yeah.
So you're standing by the gates. They're still partially open. You've got a guard knocked out in front of you.
Can I, and this may be something I have to roll for, but can I move this guard? Like, do they have a guard house by the wall?
There's a little, like, shed kind of thing.
Little shed, yeah. Can I move him over to the shed?
Sure, you don't have to roll for that. You're a big, tough guy.
He's a little tough guy.
I'm going to move him over. I'm going to keep him laid out.
Okay.
If I find, like, something that I could put under his head, like, as a makeshift pillow.
Sure.
I am also, because he doesn't really know what else to do, he's going to put a gold piece on his tunic.
Okay.
Aww.
All right. Deduct that from your stash.
Well, I'm looking for my stash. Can you find where all this is written? Oh, here it is.
Will took it in the night.
Yeah.
Nope. I took your paper with your gold written on it, too. So you'd never suspect. You'd just be like, well, I guess I never had any money.
Okay, so I have made a note, and I have left a gold piece, and now I'm going to go back to the inn.
And I'm guessing you laid his head down, so that way the knot that eventually rises like 3 to 4 inches off of his head is unencumbered. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. All right. You head back to the inn. By the time you get there, the town seems like it's waking up a little bit. Seems like it's maybe a little more active than normal, from what you've noticed, at least in the mornings. Rafina, I'm assuming you wake with the morning as normal.
Oh, yes. I do my morning Swedish exercises.
Got it.
She makes meatballs.
Yeah.
And I eat them, which is why I never lose any weight.
She does the Malm, and she does the Billy.
Nice.
Just assembling furniture. Yep. So, and one, two, and a bookshelf. And three, four, and a credenza.
We neglected to mention Rafina looks just like the little guy from all the
Oh, yes, she has just this pointy nose, and that's it. Mm-hmm.
Yep. She's always sad when she's not with someone else.
Aww.
That's right. I'm dropping a box on my toe. Yeah.
All right. Lank, you come into the common room and find Rafina doing her exercises. And maybe not even 20 seconds after you make it in, the door bursts open behind you and enters Galdar, who you may remember from eons ago.
Galdar!
And he says, guys, did you hear? The mayor! The mayor's dead!
What?
What? I'm going to bed.
Oh, God. Damn it!
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Thanks for listening. Please leave us a review on iTunes and visit porkfrieddice.com to find links to us on Facebook and Twitter. Be sure to join us next week to find out what happens to your favorite adventurers as they muddle their way through our demented mindscapes.